Hey, we're so glad you're here with us today. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and today we're continuing in an inspiring series, When You're Hoping for a Miracle. Now, in this series, Pastor Rick is guiding us through God's Word and showing us how to strengthen our faith and live with greater love, peace, patience, and self-control, even when life feels hopeless. Now, if you've been longing for a breakthrough, you're not going to want to miss this. And now here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called, When You Feel You're Sinking.
For those of you who are parents, let me talk to you for just a second about that. One of the greatest needs today in our society is courageous parents. We need dads who have courage. We need moms who have courage, who don't wimp out, have courage to say and do the right thing, even if it's unpopular, even if it's scary, even if it doesn't make sense. Because your kids won't ever develop courage unless you're able to model it. If you are a fearful parent, you're going to produce fearful kids. If you're a courageous parent, you're going to produce courageous kids. Because courage is not taught. You can't say, oh, be courageous, kids. It is caught. And you got to model it. And how do you model it? Well, you only model it when you're in the storm. And so rather than hiding all the storms from your kids, you need to let them see you putting your faith in Christ in that storm. And you need to be able to say to your kids, yes, we're going through a tough time right now. And yes, it's scary, but we are courageous and we are not afraid because, and then you give them the four things we just talked about. That Jesus has been praying for us before we even entered this storm. He knows what we're going through. He sees what we're going through. And he's going to come to us at the right moment in a way we least expect it to help us out. And we're going to trust him in that. And that kind of courage is contagious. Fear is contagious from parents. Courage is contagious from parents. So you need to have courage because Jesus is with me. Number two, you need to take a risk in faith. When you are most afraid, when you are most scared, when you feel like you're going under for the third time and the waves are coming up against your boat and they're lapping into your boat and over your boat, you take a risk in faith. Now in this story, in Matthew's telling of the story, he adds a detail that John and Mark leave out, and that is this. Peter walked on water too. And that's in this part of the story. Notice it says in Matthew 14 that Jesus comes walking along and Peter sees him walking along and he says this, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. Can you imagine what a rush that was? You talk about the experience of a lifetime to be the only human being in history to have walked on water. I mean, he got the gold because he's the only competitor. You know, he says, you know, what did you enter in the Olympics? I'm the water walker, you know. Now, but notice he says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Before jumping out, Peter asks for ID. Okay? Lord, if it's you, can I join you? Now notice, Peter is not doubting the possibility of a miracle. He's not doubting that he could walk on water too if it's the Lord. He just wants to make sure it's Jesus. Let me translate. If God tells you to go out and start a new business, you need to say, Lord, I'll jump out of the boat and do this. But first, I got to make sure it's you telling me to do this. Because if it's not you, I'm going to sink. If it's my idea to start this business, there's no likely, you haven't promised to bless my ideas. So God, if it's you, I need to know for sure I'm hearing from you. Too often, we get an idea and then we ask God to bless it. Don't ask God to bless what you're doing. Do what God is blessing. And say, God, what do you want me to do? If it's you, tell me. And if you tell me, man, I'm out of the boat in an instant. Okay? And he jumps out of the boat. Now, Peter had learned a lesson that is the most important lesson you need to learn from this text. It's this. It is safer to be with Jesus out of the boat than in the boat without Jesus. Let me say it again. When you're in a storm, when you're handling a crisis, an emotional crisis or any other crisis, it is safer to be out of the boat with Jesus than it is to be back in the boat without Jesus. Does that make sense? Peter knows it's safer out there than it is here because Jesus is out there. He really didn't want to walk on water as much as he just wanted to be with Jesus. He's thinking, the Lord's there and I'm here and it's a storm and we're going under. I think I'd rather be with him. And so what you need to do is not focus on the storm, but focus on him. And he says, if I can be with Jesus, well, the walking on water, that's the easy part. If I'm with the Lord, he's going to take care of my needs. Now, I love the fact that Jesus says to Peter, he doesn't say, you got to be kidding, Peter. No, he says, come on down. Bob Barker, come on down, Peter. Come on down. You know, I bet Jesus was so pleased when Peter said, can I come out there too? Can I come out there and be with you? Because, Lord, it's scary, but I want to be with you. I want to be with you. That pleases the Lord. I want to be with you. And I'm sure Jesus smiled when he said, come on. Come on out, Peter. And so Peter hops out of the boat. And, you know, he goes over there. Now, he has the experience of a lifetime. And Jesus is pleased. Why? Because faith always pleases Jesus. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. If you're not taking any risks, you can't possibly please Jesus because it doesn't require any faith. If nothing in your life requires faith, then you're not living by faith. So you need to take a risk. And as John Ortberg's famous book says, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. Where do you need to get out of the boat? Right now. You need to get out of the boat in the areas where God has already told you what to do and you're not doing it yet. And you say, okay, God, I know I can't afford to do this, but I'm going to do it. Tithing. I know I'm scared to death to do this, but I'm going to do it. Share Jesus with a friend at work. I know, God, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. Forgive that person who hurt you. It's all the stuff that God has told you to do and you're still not doing. You want to walk on water? You got to get out of the boat. You got to take a risk. You have courage because Jesus is with you. You take a risk in faith. Number three, stay focused on Jesus. Stay focused on Jesus. This is what you need to do if you're sinking. Don't get your eyes on anything else. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Because the moment you get your eyes off the Lord, you're going under. Now, this is what happened to Peter. In verse 30, the next verse, it says this. But when Peter looked around, there's trouble. Okay. When Peter looked around at the high waves, he was terrified. Well, duh. And he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Now, again, this verse is filled with truth. First, note it says, when Peter looked around. Every time you start looking at your circumstances, you're going down. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. You look within, you'll be at rest. You look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Depressed, distressed, or at rest. It's all in what you have your focus on. Peter looked around. When you're going through a storm, don't look at, well, look at what they're doing. And look at what they're doing. And look at your problems. Somebody says, how are you doing? You say, well, so far, so good under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing under them? God never meant you to be under your circumstances. He wants you to be on top of them. He wants you to be an overcomer. Circumstances are like a mattress. You get on top, you rest easy. You get underneath them, you're going to suffocate. So he says, keep your eyes on the Lord. He looked around. Now, what had changed? Nothing. Same waves, same storm, same darkness, same boat, same Jesus, same Peter. One moment he's walking on water, the next moment he's sinking. What's the only difference? What he's looking at. What are you looking at? If you look at your problems, you're going down. You're sinking. Now, some scholars, commentators have said, what caused Peter to look around when he's walking toward Jesus? I mean, that had to be so cool. He's walking on water to the Lord. And all of a sudden, he looks around. Somebody suggested maybe somebody in the boat called out. Maybe, say, hey, Peter, you can't do that. Like doubting Thomas. Hey, Peter, there will always be people in the boat who tell you it can't be done. They're not going to get out of the boat. They're not going to trust Jesus. They're not going to take any risk. They're going to sit back and criticize you for doing it. You can't do that, Peter. Don't you know nobody can walk on water? Haven't you heard? It's impossible. Somebody's in the boat. Listen, never listen to opinions in the boat when God tells you to get out of the boat. If God tells you to do it, it's going to work. But just make sure, is it you, Lord, that told me to do it? But there will be people who will try to get you to start thinking it through. Think this thing through, Peter. It's illogical. You cannot walk on water. Would you write this down? When I trust instead of think, I walk instead of sink. When I trust instead of think, I walk on water instead of sink. You need to stop thinking and start trusting. You need to stop trying to figure it all out and how you're going to get out of debt from your human standpoint. You need to come to the Lord and ask Him. As I said, your primary need here is the Lord. And if you want to change your life, it's real simple. Change your focus. It's not that hard. It's not rocket science. Change your focus. Stop focusing on all your problems. Stop focusing on how you are going to solve your problems and start spending time with the Lord. You need to listen to the Lord. Now, if you're spending more time reading the newspaper than the Bible, you're sinking. If you spend more time listening to talk radio than listening to the Lord, you're sinking. If you spend more time watching the stock reports and everything on television that's going wrong instead of spending time in the Word, you're sinking. You're going to fill your mind with either truth, the Word of God, which sets you free, or you're going to fill your mind with all kinds of negative stuff. You're going to look at the problem or you're going to look at the solver. Stay focused on Jesus. Number four, the fourth thing Jesus tells them to do in the storm is don't doubt. Don't doubt. You need to believe your beliefs and you need to doubt your doubts. Doubts are meant to be doubted. Beliefs are meant to be believed. Now, Peter looks around and he starts to sink. And the Bible says in verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. There's the second miracle. First, Jesus, actually it's the third. Jesus walks on water. Then Peter walks on water. Then Peter starts sinking and Jesus reaches and pulls him up. That's a third miracle. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? I don't even think this was that big of a rebuke to Peter, because at least Peter had got out of the boat. Notice Jesus reaches down and he says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now I notice he didn't say you of no faith. The no faith people were those who never got out of the boat. Okay? They're the no faith people. The people who never get out of the boat, who just want to criticize those who get out. But he says, you're a little faith. Now, what is this saying? Jesus is saying, it only took a little faith to walk on water. See, a lot of times we think, well, the problem we don't have any miracles is because we don't have great faith. You don't need great faith. You don't need great faith. It's not the size of your faith that matters. It's the size of your God. Put a little faith in a big God and you get big results. On the other hand, if you have big faith, but you put it in the wrong thing, you're going to get no results. To Jesus, walking on water only requires little faith. Now, I wouldn't have thought that. If I had walked on water, I would have thought, man, I got great faith. I would have considered that great faith to have walked on water. Jesus said, no, I didn't take great faith. Just takes a little faith, but you got to put it in me. Not great faith, but a great God. And what is faith? Faith is something you do. You got to get out of the boat to show faith. Faith isn't something, oh, I believe. No, you put it on the line. The other guys have no faith. Peter takes the risk. Now, some of you are saying, Rick, I don't have any faith. Oh, yeah, you do. You got a lot more faith than you realize. Every human being, including atheists, have faith. Everybody has faith. We were born with it. The difference is just what you put it in. When you sat down in that chair, you had faith that it would hold you up. If I sat in it, it would require great faith. Okay? But for you, it's no faith for you to sit down in it, okay? When you go out and you're in a car on the freeway, you have faith that you're not going to get in an accident. When you get on a plane, you have faith that the pilot's going to keep the thing flying. You have faith when you do a job, you have faith that somebody's going to pay you for it. You use faith every day of your life. You can't live without faith. Everybody has faith. We're talking about having faith or not. We're talking about who you put it in. You put it in all the wrong things, and that's why you get disappointed. Put your faith in God. The number five, the last thing you need to do, is praise God. Praise God even in the situation, even in the storm, even when you feel like you're sinking, even when you're scared to death. Praise Him all the time. You thank God in the storm. Now, you have two options. You can either worry or you can worship. You'll do one or the other. You can either panic or you can pray. You can tremble or you can trust. You can have fear or you can have faith. It is your choice. Worry or worship. Notice it says in Matthew 14, when Jesus climbed into the boat, the wind died down. The other verses, other two chapters tell us, John and Mark tell us, the storm stopped instantly. Now here we've got the fourth miracle, instant stop of the storm. When Jesus climbed into the boat, the storm stopped. And then those who were in the boat worshiped Him, circle that, worshiped Him, saying, truly, You are the Son of God. You know, the Titanic was supposed to be unsinkable. There's only been one unsinkable boat ever created. It was this little fishing boat, because when Jesus is in your boat, it isn't going to sink. There's no way it's going to sink if Jesus is in the boat. Question. Let's just conclude it now. Why had Jesus sent them into this storm? Remember, it was His idea. You guys get in the boat, head up to Bethsaida. 9 hours later, they're in the middle of the lake fighting for their life in a tsunami. He wanted to see if they had really learned the lessons of the 5,000 fed. What were those lessons? That Jesus can do anything, that Jesus is all you need, and that faith is the answer to fear. So here's the question. What storm is scaring you right now? What storm is scaring you? What storm is sinking you right now? Why do you think God is letting you go through this storm right now? Same reasons He sent the disciples into the storm. To say, I'm all you need. I can handle anything. I will come to you in the ninth hour. And I'll come walking on the very thing that scares you the most. I'm going to be walking on the waves. The stuff you're afraid of, it'll be Me. And I'm not asking you to come to Me. I'm going to be coming to you. And you just need to stop being afraid. And you just need to totally trust Me in faith. Final question. How many storms is it going to take before you learn to trust God like that? 30? 100? 2,000? How many storms is it going to take you to break you of your self-reliance so that you finally say, okay, God is all I need. He's all I need. He's going to help me out. Let's bow our heads. Would you pray this prayer? Dear Jesus, You know the storms I'm going through right now that scare me to death. I can't see my way. It's dark. I often feel I'm on my own. I'm definitely out of my comfort zone. I feel like strong forces are against me. I'm being tossed and battered around. The waters are rough and the wind is against me. And I've been struggling for 9 hours, but failing. I'm not any closer to security and safety than I was 9 hours ago. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you that you knew this was going to happen even before it happened. Thank you that you are interceding for me in heaven right now. Thank you that you notice my struggle. Thank you that you count every step I take. Thank you that you're able to sympathize with my weaknesses. Thank you that you come to me at my point of desperation. In the fourth watch, you come out to me, walking on the problems that are scaring me. Thank you that you've promised to never abandon me as an orphan in the storm, but you will come to me. Help me to see you for who you are in this situation. Help me to take courage because you're with me. Help me to not be afraid because the great I am is in my midst. Help me to take that risk of faith and do the thing I fear the most. Help me to get out of the boat so I can walk on water. Help me to stay focused on you, Jesus, and not keep looking at the high waves which terrify me and cause me to sink. Lord, I pray the prayer that Peter prayed. Save me, Lord. I say it with passion. I say it with pointedness. I say it directed to you. Save me, Lord. Help me to not doubt, but to praise you in the middle of the storm, to worship you instead of worry, to trust you instead of tremble, to pray instead of panic. I open my life completely to you, Jesus Christ. Be the captain of my ship, the manager of my life, the Lord of me. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hey, if you just prayed that prayer along with Rick to accept Jesus in your life, wow, Rick would love to hear about it. Please email Rick at PastorRick.com and let him know about it. He'd love to send you free tools that will help you on your spiritual journey. And now, here's Rick to tell you about today's offer.
Would you like to live an extraordinary life? One where you make a lasting contribution that serves God and blesses others? A life where you use all your skills and abilities and talents to pursue your dreams? Well, guess what? God wants you to live that life. In fact, He created you to live a life of significance as you pursue the dream that God has placed in your heart. But you know, a lot of people get bogged down and discouraged before they ever reach their dream. They can't understand why there are delays and difficulties, and so they doubt their dream, and they even doubt God. That's why I've written a new book called Created a Dream, The 6 Phases God Uses to Grow Your Faith. It explains the process that God uses to deepen your faith as He moves you step by step closer to the dream He's given you. And when you understand these 6 phases of faith, you'll be able to see what God is doing. You go, oh, I get it. I understand what He's doing. You'll be able to say, right now I'm in phase 4 or phase 6 or phase 2 of God's process. This is going to keep you encouraged and hopeful when you hit obstacles and suffer setbacks that are inevitable in moving toward your dream. And it'll help you cooperate with God's plan to grow your faith as you fulfill your dream. You're going to begin to live an extraordinary life. You know, the truth is, we're all just ordinary people. But when ordinary people pursue the dream God has for their life, they become extraordinary. God's inviting you to pursue the dream He's put in your heart. Let me help you do that. Let me help you learn more about that. I'd like to send you a copy of Created to Dream, the 6 phases God uses to grow your faith. When you give a gift today to help Daily Hope, Share the hope of Jesus with people around the world. Thank you for your partnership in this worldwide ministry.
To get this great resource, it's really easy. You just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's PastorRick.com. Or just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, the word HOPE to 70309. And thanks so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope means so much to us because it helps us share the hope of Jesus Christ to people all around the world. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.